Caesarea Maritime, and I've been here several times, and each time it seems like there's a layer and layer, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, the layers of revelation. It's like coming to this land. You can look at the surface, but it's always changing and going deeper according to what's the depth of understanding, that a spirit of understanding comes and you see more than just the surface picture. Having said that, there's a couple of observations when I went through the time travel explanation of Caesarea Maritime. I saw something that I have been curious. I've been praying about the whole Rothschild thing and the financial banking, and of course we know that, there is serious documentation, that is, that the Catholic Church made the Jewish bankers in Europe, the Rothschilds, their scapegoat for Jews and the persecution of Jews, and as the butt of the economic problems that led to anti-Semitism, which was my fear before 2008, that specter would arise again. Oh, it's the banker's fault, though, it's the Jewish banker's fault. Nevertheless, Rothschild, Baron Edmund Frederick, I think, Rothschild was a Frenchman. His brothers live in Frankfurt, England, Vienna, Venice. They were all located there. Anyway, in the 1860s, he began to see pogroms begin for the persecution of the Jews, and he was quite concerned about that and felt sorry. And these were mostly Russian Jews. And so he started settlements here, which is something I did not realize, that the Russian Jews were the beginning settlers. They were the root for the settlements that came to this country that have now borne fruit, 150 years later. And that he then came in and bought portions of lands, and he identified the specific settlements. It was very interesting. Just to see, there's this whole holograph where these historical figures would stand up and give a dramatization of Herod the Great, who built this Caesarea Maritime, or Paul the Apostle, which actually, interestingly enough, in the hologram of St. Paul, he preached the gospel. I mean, I was quite astounded. I thought, well, there you go. But this is an Israeli Paul. It's from their view. Nevertheless, it was in a Gentile Paul, or however, whatever. And you saw the conquest that came over here with the Mamluks and Salah ad-Din and the barber, I forget his name. But the Mamluk, I can't, it was before Salah ad-Din. His name escapes me at this moment, but he was Muslim, and it just seems that death and destruction, when the spirit of violence and hatred and death and destruction come in, and then there's this period of renewal and restoration, seems that that spirit of hatred to kill, steal, and destroy, and then lay desolate and waste, has been over this place, and it comes in. Because Satan is trying to kill the children of God, and that the opposite spirit is the one in which we love our enemies, we pray for those who despitefully use us, we bless those who curse us, by doing we heap coals of fire upon their heads. But God is the God of peace and restoration and renewal, and it seems prosperity will come, and his people will go off into idolatry and spiritual harlotry. And then he has to bring in the destroyer, the waster. I create havoc. I create the destroyer to work God's purpose, to bring repentance, the judgment to bring repentance, that you've grown fat and now you're adulterous and you're covetous and you're going out your own way and you no longer worship me, the Lord God Almighty. I'm not me personally, but I'm saying this is what God says in his scripture. And then there's this twisted version of dominionism where, you know, Christians are going to take over the world under their earthly temporal dominion. Well, this is just not the Christianity of Jesus Christ. It's not the seven mountains that we're going to take. Those mountains that we're going to build. Well, those mountains may be the mountains of, you know, Mystery Babylon. Sits on seven mountains, you know. And we're gonna control and we're going to, you know, set it up for the coming of the Lord. I don't think so. The Lord is quite adequate in doing his work and fulfilling his purposes according to his will. And preparation, the only way we have to prepare is to repent. Ooh, look at that green, emerald green parrot. Is to prepare through repentance and through holiness and through keeping his commandments and statutes. According to, you know, righteousness, doing the right thing, living holy lives, being a testimony in whatever situation or circumstance, uncompromised testimony to the Lord God, that we serve him and we don't serve any other God. But this, anyway, this Christian domination that comes in a Roman Catholicism is not God. But they're always, you know, let's have another battle. Let's take the Holy Land from the Franks to the, I mean, the Coeur de Lion, Richard the Lionhearted, and another crusade, and, you know, and the papacy is behind it, and, you know, they're funding it because why? Because they're the lamb. You know, it looks like a lamb, but when it opens its mouth, it's the voice of the dragon. Listen to the spirit that's operating behind the facade and the show. Anytime it becomes dominating, anytime it becomes a pyramid, they're building their little mountain and their little kingdom and, you know, their little fiefdom and their grandiose ministry. Oh, ministry, it's all over the nations. You know, I reach all the nations. Well, good for you. So where's Jesus in this? You know, and they take scriptures out of context and twist it. And that spirit's still operating here. Of course they have Jerusalem. Of course it's still contentious for Jerusalem. Of course Satan wants to lay hold of Jerusalem. Of course, of course, of course. But, of course the conflict is ramping up. And of course it's all about, you know, who rules. So the issue is, let's deal with the truth and really look at it apart from our indoctrination and mind control, and step outside and ask for a spirit of truth. In this age of deceit and deception, the truth will set you free. The truth does not, you do not come into a ministry and come under bondage and come under enslavement to the leader of that ministry who's got control operating. And it's got my little spies in all the gatherings all over. And little infiltrators that tell me what's going on. So that we can bring them all together under unity. Oh, ecumenicalism. So I'll get together and kumbaya. Well, no. God bless you, but no, Jesus is my head. And if I'm not married to you, I don't have another head. Ha ha ha. So, what does this mean? Are we supposed to live in division? No, there's a unity that comes by the Spirit that sets you free and that operates in the truth and that does not take Scripture and twist it into these ridiculous teachings on judgment. Oh, well, don't be judgmental. Well, that's right. Just throw your critical thinking skills and your discernment right out the door so that you won't think so like a blind, stupid sheep, they can lead you around wherever they're going. I don't think so. That is a control tactic, an intimidation and fear. Well, you know, shouldn't be rebellious. Well, maybe you shouldn't be rebellious to the word of the Lord. Let's really look at this. Maybe leadership is really, there's no greed. I mean, it's not, a leader's not to be greedy, and his house is to be in order. He's to be hospitable, not, you know, make a business out of the house of the Lord and the house of prayer and merchandise it. And, oh, shall we charge some money for the revelation and the anointing? Step right up. Here you go. For $35, I will lay hands on you and you will get the Holy Spirit. God forbid. Morning rants at the Mediterranean. There's nothing new under the sun. What has been done will be done again. And the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness is coming to full harvest. God bless you in Yeshua's name.